have the golden touch on this, the newest episode of Musings on Golf. Still riding high from the U.S. men's hockey team's dramatic overtime gold medal winning performance on Sunday at the 25th Winter Olympics, I am your red, white, and blue host, Kelly Elbin, along with the All-American executive producer, Jenna Self. What a moment in sports history for the United States. Jack Hughes, that team, incredibly special. And it was built on a lot of other teams, as Hughes talked about, the brotherhood of USA Hockey. And so how do we merge hockey and golf? This is, after all, a golf podcast. How do we do that? Well, I think we've done pretty well for you today with Joe Pavelski. Joe Pavelski was indeed one of those who was so close to winning a gold medal for the United States in 2010, representing the U.S. at the Winter Games. It was Pavelski was on the ice when the U.S. came up short to the Canadian Sidney Crosby, scoring in overtime to win the gold medal for Canada in 2010. Pavelski played 18 seasons in the National Hockey League. Outstanding player. Led both the San Jose Sharks and the Dallas Stars to the Stanley Cup finals. And Joe's an outstanding golfer. And we really, it was great. Joe, we reached out to Joe kind of at the last minute. He was so accommodating and so nice to join us for an interview, which we conducted yesterday, which was the day after the U.S. won. And Joe, you know, shed a lot of perspective, a lot of light on, you know, what it meant to represent the U.S., how he felt about the team this year, and where he was when the U.S. Team won on Sunday morning in Milan. And it speaks a lot to about where hockey is and where hockey is headed to in this in the future. So you're really going to enjoy the interview with Joe Pavelski. Also, on the flip side, we're going to talk about dreams fulfilled in another way, in this case for Jacob Bridgman. Look, Jacob Bridgman, fourth year on the PGA Tour, and what a couple of months it's been. He got married. 2 months later, he wins for the first time on the PGA Tour, holding off a late charge by both Rory McIlroy and Kurt Kitayama, who win for the first time on the PGA Tour at the Genesis Invitational. And what does he get as the ultimate prize in addition to the $4 million payday, but to get to shake Tiger Woods' hand at the top of the stairs after he came off the 18th green at Riviera Country Club. So very happy for him, and very happy to have Joe Pavelski again with us. Pavelski, he hit the jackpot last July when he finally, after coming so very close many times at the American Century Celebrity Golf Championship out in Lake Tahoe, finally prevailed, made a great eagle putt on the last hole to win. And that's the biggest event on that celebrity tour. And Joe talks a lot about that as well in this interview, which you will hear right after these messages from our great friends at William and Harry and the Friars Golf Club. When golfer and entrepreneur Rhett Butler founded William and Harry Golf, he brought luxury, individuality, and performance to the game, while giving back through support of veterans organizations and suicide prevention initiatives. This spring, William & Harry Golf unveils its 2026 collection, perhaps the most innovative, most comfortable, and most distinctive lineup of handcrafted golf shoes. They feature vibrant colors in both exotic python and ostrich, and classic golf colors for our Calfskins line of shoes, which have already been recognized by Golf Digest, comfort and quality. William & Harry is the luxury golf brand with a conscience, built on trust in our craftsmanship, our values, and our promise to reinvest in the communities we serve. When you choose William & Harry, you choose a brand that stands behind every product, every cause, and the causes it supports. Visit williamandharry.com, the luxury golf brand with a conscience. Is your golf life stuck in a bunker of country club hassles? Tired of the wait lists and the six-figure initiation fees? Well, at the Friars Golf Club, we take care of all of the hard work. Planning exclusive trips and unforgettable rounds on top-rated courses, so all you have to do is show up, have fun, and make lifelong friendships on the first tee, the 19th hole, and far beyond. Our terrific 2026 lineup includes international destinations like Dubai and Scandinavia, plus top domestic resorts such as Sand Valley and Black Desert, and access to some great private clubs. Join the Friars Golf Club today. Email us at info@thefriars.com, the word musings in the subject line, to receive a $500 trip credit. When you join, we invite you to stop dreaming and start living the ultimate golf experience with the Friars Golf Club.
Lines up behind the net, and it's Werenski. Now Jack Hughes puts it around the car. United States with numbers. Back across it comes. Jack Hughes wins it! The golden goal for the United States! For the first time since the 1980 miracle, the United States takes the gold!
46 years to the day that Americans celebrated the miracle on ice with the U.S. shocking the Soviets in the semifinals of the 1980 Winter Olympics. Jack Hughes scored 1 minute and 41 seconds into overtime to bring the U.S. its third ever gold medal in hockey in the Winter Games. With thanks to NBC Sports and a fabulous call by Kenny Albert, man, oh man, there were millions of Americans who were screaming and hollering and hugging on that beautiful morning. And I know they included our special guest today, Joe Pavelski, whose current prowess as a golfer is only bettered by his 18 seasons in the National Hockey League. Joe, first of all, welcome to Musings on Golf. And Joe Pavelski, considering you were a member of the 2010 U.S. Olympic team that came up short to the Canadians in the gold medal game, this must feel awfully, awfully sweet.
Yeah, it was a special morning. I mean, I think, right, I was in Dallas with the youth team playing some games, and we had a 9:45 game, and we're watching the 7:10 start. We're like, all right, we should be able to see the whole thing. So you wake up in the morning, grab some coffee. You definitely, I felt the energy just like of a game day, and there was more juice in the air, and you know what the Olympics are about and how special they are, and you can feel the energy coming from there, and just awesome to see the result that we got.
And Joe, the exact location when you heard or saw the goal, what was going on? You were with your son and his team, right?
Yeah, we were watching, and then it's going to overtime, so we got the iPad going, and our puck drop was pretty much identical to the puck drop overtime. And so we're in Dallas at a youth rink, Valley Ranch. Obviously, I spent 5 years there at the end of my career, and got a lot of fond memories of Dallas, and so puck drop, iPad's going, kids are playing, and they're coming off the bench because they know what's going on. And we're kind of just glancing at the game, watching, seeing if there's going to be any great chances early on in this overtime. And we were probably on a five-second delay because all of a sudden the rink erupted. And you could hear the parents cheering in the stands across the bench. And, you know, I'm tapping my coach, my buddy who I coach with, Luke Stoffaker, and I'm like, it's coming. It's coming. We're just watching that. Really cared. It felt like the right thing to do and to watch, and just because you're so connected to USA Hockey and all these kids, they dream of being there one day, and they look up to all these players, and you know they were pretty excited. They're like, they came off after that, you know, they could hear the crowd go wild kind of too, and they're like, what happened, who scored? So it was a special moment.
How did you feel? How did you react when the puck went in?
I was pumped. I was like, I'm hitting them. I'm like, it's coming. I'm like, it went in. I was fired up. Obviously, we were so close in 2010, and just an amazing energy atmosphere in Vancouver, and then going to Sochi in 14 and losing, you know, 1-0 to Canada to go to the gold medal game. It's, you know, it's what it's about, and it's just a special game, a special event, and it was awesome to see USA get it done.
You know, Joe, in listening to Jack Hughes talk about the brotherhood and the ex-players and kind of what USA Hockey has become, they're pushing all the right buttons there, Joe, it seems like, in terms of putting together the right players and then putting together the right team in a matter of, you know, just a week or so together. It's had a lot of staying power, Joe, and finally to get over the hump.
It has been. You know, there's been a plan put in place from a while back, especially with the USA program at younger levels and the kids, the U17 team and the U18 team. And you've seen the success they've had at lower levels, winning World Juniors and just kind of growing it. And really, that brotherhood, it's real. And, you know, for me coming up, we were watching, you know, Jeremy Roenick, Brett Hall, you know, the Hatcher brothers, it was all of those things kind of keep leading to, you know, generations to come. And you try to, you know, if you're lucky enough to get there and wear the sweater, it's, you understand the responsibility. And we keep kind of, we were just knocking on the door, getting a little closer. And, you know, to break through, it's only going to, you know, just excite that next generation and all the kids that are going and that are already knocking on the door with it. But you're really excited for USA Hockey here coming up.
Joe, Mike Ruzzioni joined us, you know, going into the Olympics, and we talked some golf, yeah, but he obviously talked a lot about his feelings towards this team, and he said it throughout the, if you listened to it yesterday, he felt very strongly that this particular team was the best that the U.S. had put together. And nothing against you guys in 2010, but but it was all, and perhaps the fact that it was to the day that Ruzzioni had scored that goal against the Soviets in 1980. Maybe all the stars were aligned. And with Connor Hellebuyck, the way he played, for God's sake, Joe, I mean, without him, they don't win the game. But it all just, it happened somehow.
Yeah, he played amazing. No offense, that was the best USA team, I think, out there. You know, and that's just how the game changes and develops and keeps, you see it across all sports, the talent level that these kids are bringing and pushing to new levels. And you know, it's probably the best team Canada's ever put out there as well.
And they were loaded. It was fat, Joe.
Yeah, it's just where the game's at. It's fast. It's fun to watch. It's exciting. And everybody wants to keep adding to it. So it's sweet. Yeah, Ellie just played a heck of a game. And, you know, you get a little bit of a break here or there with a couple of their chances and a couple of clutch saves. But that happens. You see it all throughout hockey. You need a bounce or two here. And you know, USA definitely earned it. And you can't, you know, have this without, I guess, the way the staff put together the team. You know, you come up a goal short last year in the Four Nations and, you know, about not. And then you come into the year and you have some injuries. You know, I think Hellebuyck had a little surgery early on. You have the Jack Hughes incident. You have different guys in and out of the lineup as they're playing and Tkachuk coming, you know, being out for most of the year and these guys coming in and they just kind of stayed the course. Obviously there's little questions of how fast they can get back up to speed. And it's, you know, the puck drops. There's a lot of things that you forget about you're playing for your country and you're playing this great sport. And it's just the culture of hockey, of how you want to compete and do it the right way. It was impressive that they see these guys step up and answer the call.
Speaking of representing your country, what's it like for the 99% of us who don't know what it's like to put on the USA sweater and or whatever that may be and represent the country? What is it like stepping on the ice knowing you're playing for your country?
Yeah, I think Jack Hughes just said it best. Like, we love our country. And anytime, you know, it gives us so much. And the game of hockey gives us so much. And USA Hockey is giving you every opportunity to kind of succeed. So to step out on the ice as a group with this sweater, knowing what the 80 team did before you and how it's, you know, with Miracle on Ice, the movie, and like you feel a part of that, you just have. And to really wear it, it's hard to, you always play better in the game of hockey, I guess, when you get outside of yourself. And you do it for something different because there has to be a lot of sacrifice throughout a game, whether it's blocking shots, whether it's, you know, D'ing up a little bit different when you might want to go. And you could see these guys get outside of themselves and looking and playing for, you know, the bigger picture. And then, you know, once they got it done, that's what you heard. And you heard that brotherhood and that family style and wanting to do it for everybody. And that's why you have the success.
Joe Pavelski joining us here on Musings on Golf. Joe, I want to get to golf in a minute because there's a lot to talk to you about golf, but I do have one other question for you from a standpoint of putting a team together in just a very relatively short period of time of guys that you're battling against all the time in NHL games. What was that like for you in 2010? How quickly did you guys become a team? How does that work, Joe?
You do. Everyone's excited to be there and have that opportunity. And I mean, I know in 10, we played against Canada, you know, we played them in the prelims and then we played them for the gold medal, and Thornton, Marlowe, Heatley, Boyle, Sharks teammates, guys I love, they're on the other side. And it's fairly easy to, you know, that puck drops. So you know what's at stake and you know your responsibility of how you need to play. And so you push all that aside. There's no worries about, you know, 2 weeks from now coming back to the locker room, you know, whatever happened. It was, you have a lot of respect for each other, but you're going to play the game the right way and hard. And at the Olympics, obviously, it's for your country.
All right, let's talk some golf. John Smoltz was nice enough to join us on Musings on Golf last week. And John said certainly his number one goal in 2026 is to win the American Century Celebrity Golf Championship. You, Joe Pavelski, after coming close so many times, got it done last year. Great eagle putt on 18. Joe, for you, what was the difference in finally getting over that hump, much like our boys finally got over the gold medal hump in the against the Canadians?
Man, just believing you could do it, because obviously I had some second place finishes, third place finishes, you know, lost in a playoff. It is just, you keep knocking on the opportunity. And it was obviously, it was my first year out from not, you know, being in the NHL. So maybe had an extra month or two to practice, to warm up, to kind of get the game feeling a little bit better. And, you know, being in Wisconsin, the golf season doesn't start quite fast enough, but you got the stamina and you start working a little bit earlier. And it was special. Like, you play these golf tournaments and, you know, loving the game of golf and loving tournament golf. Well, when you finally win them, they mean so much more than you think they might. And then you get the atmosphere and at the American Century with all the fans and being close a couple times. And it was just, I don't know, it was awesome.
How did you compare that down the stretch of an Olympic game or a Stanley Cup game? How were the nerves for you down the stretch and trying to get that first win?
You know what? It's all about, the nerves are super real, especially on the first tee ball. You know, whether it's the first round or the last round, that first hole, once that ball goes in the hole on the first hole, it's kind of, things just smooth out a little bit and you start playing. And then coming down the stretch, like for me, it's, I'm reminding myself I'm playing good. I'm in a great spot. You're hitting shots. You're not a total professional as far as being able to do everything they do, but you have enough game and you're doing good. So it's just about committing and trusting it and understanding, hey, if something goes wrong, it goes wrong. And let's, you know, don't get ahead of yourselves. Hit this shot, figure it out. And that's probably the biggest similarity with hockey to golf. Like when you're playing, it's like, hey, we're going to win this game. It's next shift. Like, let's go have a good shift, work for that next opportunity. And it's a super simple mindset at the end of the day. It's because you need to just kind of stay in that moment and do things the right way and give yourself enough opportunities.
Right. And the less distractions, the better, right?
Correct, which there's no distractions at the American Century, like especially coming down 17 and 18. And
there's no noise or anything like that, right?
So let's enjoy it. It's like, this is where I wanted to be. We worked hard to have this opportunity. Let's enjoy it. Let's put a couple swings. And I mean, I remember coming down 18, I had enough of a lead, but you still had to go do some things in case, you know, someone does make an eagle and you mess something up. So it's like, hey, commit to this swing. You want to hit driver? Yeah, we're hitting driver. We hit driver all week. Let's go after it. So it worked out. It was awesome. Had the family there and a lot of friends, and it was a nice jump in the lake after.
I bet it was. And it lines up with your birthday, with your anniversary. What a very, very cool weekend that must be for you, Joe.
Yeah, it is special. And we had some great friends in San Jose that always come down for that weekend. and one of my great friends, old teammates on the bag every week there. And you get a house and you go to the events and you've just created some awesome friends from competing with the people and seeing them every summer there. And it's, yeah. And then you have the birthday and the anniversary weekend that sets up again the same way. So Tahoe is not a bad place to spend it.
When I mentioned having Mike Ruzioni on a couple of weeks ago, and I talked to him. I said, Mike, you know, similarities in terms of the motion of firing a slap shot to swinging a golf club. I said, obviously, there's a lot of comparisons. But he said, yeah, that's all true. But it's also the hands and the way hockey players are able to, you know, manipulate the stick and use their hands. And would you agree with it that helps a lot, particularly in the short game?
It definitely helps a little bit. You know, the impact zones are similar. Obviously, one ball's standing still and the other is not, and you're moving. But it definitely, as far as training and that way, is a big piece. But golf's the ultimate sport. You got to practice. You have to put some time in. You know, as soon as you get away from it for a little while, that one good swing thought you had or you know, that feel on the greens, it kind of disappears. So there's definitely a lot of touch, which I do think the hockey side with the hands helps. But and then a big thing with hockey is like the off season's lined up well. You know, why I could compete in Tahoe when I was playing was, you know, we had the summer off, so you could get a good month, 2 months in and work, get the game close enough where it never went too far away. And I just loved the game. So it was great. You'd get home, you'd train. If you got your workouts in, it was like, let's go to the course.
So Joe, growing up in Plover, Wisconsin, it was hockey was part of the DNA. What about golf for you, Joe? When did you start playing the game? Did you gravitate to it right away? And were you good at it right away?
Yeah, golf. My dad did not golf growing up. But there was one morning he was like, hey, who wants to do the Friday lessons? You know, the 3-hole Friday lessons. And at the Tree Acres, the course is not there anymore, but a nice little public course. And so a couple of it, my younger brother did it with me, and we went, and it was Friday lessons. And after that year, I got the membership. I think it was maybe $250, you know, and mom would drop me off in the morning and pick me up after lunch, and you'd play 18 or 36 and mess around at the course. And I remember after a couple of years of that, there was a nice country club, Stevens Point Country Club in town. And I took a job at being a big boy so I could play there for free on certain days. And from there I just worked a little harder so I could just buy a regular membership and play all the time. I just loved it. And then in high school, so I was decent. I played in some of the little junior tournaments around, and then kind of really enjoyed the tournament side of golf, and then actually played high school golf. And it was one of the best moves I made. And it was, you know, we had spring golf there, so you'd get out of school nice and early, right when school is getting out anyways. You don't really want to be there anymore. Go play some nice courses.
Absolutely. Were you good at it, Joe Pavelski? Did the game come to you fairly naturally?
I was decent at it. Yeah. I believe I was pretty good. Never really had a lot of lessons, had some simple thoughts that, you know, someone would talk to you about and just try to figure out how to hit somewhat of a straight ball. But I just loved playing. You know, we'd go walk 36 holes in a day or go sit at the range for a little bit and mess around, and got fairly decent. And then got it to a level where I was able to keep it as I kept playing. And then you start learning a few more things and play some nicer courses. I just love this game, golf.
What about now, Joe? How much golf do you play? Because you live in Wisconsin, correct?
Yep.
How much golf do you play year round? You don't necessarily live in a warm weather climate. How much do you play? Do you take lessons? Do you work with someone? What's the golf like for you now on a regular basis?
Yeah, the last summer or two, I've played as much as I've ever played. As far as just, you know, we moved into a house right across from our street or right across from the golf course, and then we have Steve Stricker redid his course. Used to be Cherokee, and now it's TPC Wisconsin. They hosted the senior tournament there last year. You know, that's 8 minutes down the road. So I have a couple nice courses close by that I can get to in a hurry. So I'll bust out some mornings and just fly around by myself or set up, you know, around with the buddies and do a little bit of all that. But year round, I was at the Hilton Grand's Vacation Tournament Champions with the Wimbin there a few weeks ago. And, you know, that one, I hadn't played a round of golf since beginning of October, and it was maybe one round in October. So I made sure we put a simulator in the house, and
there you go.
6 weeks out, I'm like, all right, I know what's coming. I have to get a base here. So when I do translate it to grass and can figure it out fairly quick and go 2 weeks off, and then had a pro rivals or the pro tour with the athletes last week. And even just playing a full week of golf and then taking 2 weeks off, hitting the sim and go out and play another one, the game felt a little bit better. So it's never too far away, but it has to cross over quick in the wintertime.
Yeah. And Joe, John Smoltz was with us last week and talked about the pro tour. And again, this is you've got the four major sports, retired athletes from the four major sports competing in a series of events throughout the year, right?
Yep. Yeah. And it's incredible. Like it's open doors to more tournament golf for us. And then just having the ultimate, I don't want to call it a boys trip because it gets pretty serious, but
yeah,
there's definitely a few pops shared around and there's a lot of stories. And I mean, we're watching, who was it? Was it Canada, Finland, down, and we had a weather delay on Wednesday, our second round. And we're sitting down there watching Olympic games with Panger and Hall and, you know, all these guys, and you're laughing and they're talking and just sharing stories. And as a kid, I grew up loving Brett Hall, watching him shoot a puck, how he could score. And now you're hanging with these guys from all the sports, and you're creating a lot of good friendships. That's for sure.
It's fun. Yeah. Is that to just swap stories and maybe sometimes just to listen to the stories, right?
Yeah, I do way more listening than talking, and you know your spot, and they have way better stories than I do. And so it's, there's some characters, there's some fun, and then talking about how you played that day out there and competing and what you did good or not, and we have a good time with it.
We're in our finishing moments with Joe Pavelski here on Musings on Golf. Joe, you with the Sharks, you went to the Stanley Cup Finals. With the Stars, you went to the Stanley Cup Finals. How did those two compare? I think for the Sharks, it was the first time that they had ever been to the Stanley Cup Finals, right? Were you the captain of the team?
Yeah. Back in 2016, we went to the finals in San Jose, and it was an amazing run. Like, we had a fun team and had a lot of belief in those guys. We were playing good. We come up short to Pittsburgh. In Dallas, we went to the bubble. That was during the COVID year.
That's right.
And that was a unique situation, but it was, you knew what you're playing for, and the games meant plenty. And it was a fun time hanging with a group of guys and doing what you love and competing for the Stanley Cup. It was just unique without the fans and the excitement, you know, that's generated. But you definitely felt the energy back home and the family in Dallas and how the city was, you know, behind us. It's pretty special.
The tributes that the players paid to Johnny Gaudreau and his family, I mean, it was unbelievably emotional, Joe. The tragedy with Johnny and his brother being killed last year, and to have, you know, they flew his family there and the little kids out with the team photo. I guess it goes back to sort of speaking about that brotherhood, and it was something I didn't expect, but the love that was there, Joe, was unbelievable, really.
Yeah. And it speaks to itself what Johnny meant to everybody and how he was as a person, you know, first and foremost, and then just a great, tremendous player. And, you know, a guy that, if you looked at him, you wouldn't think, like, how's this guy going to make such an impact on the game with his size, but just an elite level talent and brain on him. And that does speak to the brotherhood and what the hockey community is about. And, you know, it's special to see that and special to be a part of it. And 100% he played a part in that. And everyone, it goes back to getting outside of yourself and understanding what you're playing for, who you're playing for, you know. And there's definitely a piece there that, you know, he was up there, he helped out with a couple of those chances that might have missed the net, and, you know, gave a little extra, because there's always more to give. And it's, if you know you're giving it for someone else, that's how you get over the hump a lot of times.
Bill, two final questions. One, it's a question I ask of all of our guests. If you could play with three other individuals, okay, whether living or deceased, who would they be? Who would round out Joe Pavelski's dream foursome, and where would you go play that really cool round of golf?
Yeah, I mean, Tiger and Jack have to be in there. And then from there, I've been asked switches. You know, I got my buddies back here. We have a great foursome, and you know, that would be 1A, 1B. Those guys would be B. We have some fun, and just to be with Tiger and Jack and probably Arnie and listen to some of these old timers and seeing the game. And then it'd have to be at, you know, probably, I haven't played in Augusta yet. I haven't played there. So probably prime Augusta would be maybe been out there a little bit. One of those just iconic places would be a pretty special day.
That's pretty strong. Final question for you, Joe. What's it going to take for Joe Pavelski's name to be on the trophy again this year at the American Century Celebrity Golf Championship as the winner?
You know, I guess I missed earlier. I have had a few lessons with Dennis Tiziani, you know, where he's come out.
Wisconsin guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Come out, taking a look at the swing. He's giving me a little tip here or there. So probably have to see him once or twice, you know, get a little bit, get another tip or two. And then just, I have to get out and play and practice and, yeah, and enjoy it. Because, you know, it'll be harder. These guys are all coming. But hit the driver good and then make a few putts. And it's the putter there is always interesting with some of those greens. And before that was the only tournament you played all summer. So now it's, you know, there gets to be a little bit more pressure. Now we're playing a little bit more tournament golf and handling it better at times. So just the game has to keep improving here a little bit.
Well, wishing you the best of luck. And Joe, as we recorded this the day after the win over in Milan for the U.S., it's going to be a real cool magic carpet ride for a while for those boys. And again, it's what happened with that winning goal. It's one of those things, Joe, where were you at that moment? And it's pretty cool to remember that you were with your son and his team.
Yeah, it's going to be an easy one to remember, you know, standing on the bench, watching him play. That's one you won't forget.
Joe Pavelski, thanks again. Wishing you all the best in golf going forward in 26 and beyond. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
When golfer and entrepreneur Rhett Butler founded William & Harry Golf, he brought luxury, individuality, and performance to the game while giving back through support of veterans organizations and suicide prevention initiatives. This spring, William & Harry Golf unveils its 2026 collection, perhaps the most innovative, most comfortable, and most distinctive lineup of handcrafted golf shoes. They feature vibrant colors in both exotic python and ostrich, and classic golf colors for our calfskins line of shoes, which have already been recognized by Golf Digest, comfort and quality. William & Harry is the luxury golf brand with a conscience, built on trust in our craftsmanship, our values, and our promise to reinvest in the communities we serve. When you choose William & Harry, you choose a brand that stands behind every product, every cause, and the causes it supports. Visit williamandharry.com, the luxury golf brand with a conscience. Golf is more than your scorecard, the brand of clubs you play, or the clothes you wear. Golf is a journey where every round is a memory, filled with friends old and new. The Friars Golf Club is where those lifelong friendships are made, on the first tee, in the 19th hole, and far beyond. Exclusive trips, unforgettable rounds, and the very best people. Indeed, great courses are simply better with great company. So join the Friars today. To learn more, email us at info@thefriars.com. and put the word musings in the subject line to receive a $500 trip credit when you join. So we invite you to stop dreaming and start living the ultimate golf experience at the Friars Golf Club. Well, again, we thank Joe Pavelski so much for taking time out from a very busy schedule, as you heard, coaching his son's junior hockey team, and great pride, as it should be, from Joe and all those who were part of and have been part of USA Hockey has really grown. And you heard it from Jack Hughes. And this is not just a one-off this year. This has been building. And the way that they play and the talent level of our guys at the very highest of level and to be able to come together as a team. You know, they're competitors in the National Hockey League. And for those 2 weeks, though, to be so proud to wear the USA sweater, and in this particular case, to finally get the third gold medal in the history of USA hockey at the Olympics, 46 years to the day after the fabulous, unbelievable victory by the U.S. in the semifinals of the 1980 Olympics with Mike Ruzzioni's goal, the winner. And of course, the U.S. then had to go on and beat Finland a couple of days later. They did that. And 46 years later, it's nice to see the USA have the gold medals around their neck. Well, there weren't any gold medals put around the neck of Jacob Bridgman, but there was a heck of a lot of satisfaction and some terrific golf that he played. He had a 6-shot lead going into the final round on Sunday at Riviera Country Club. And as you'll hear from this clip, this audio clip, he played fine. He shot 72, one over par. He didn't particularly feel threatened for most of the round. He did end up only winning, though, by 1 shot, as both Kurt Kitayama and Rory McIlroy staged some late drama. And in fact, if Rory McIlroy had just putted a little bit better, he would have won. But huge, huge breakthrough victory for Jacob Bridgman, recently married, $4 million in the pot for winning this week. It's been a heck of a few months. And let's hear what Jacob Bridgman had to say about the final round and getting that first victory at Riviera.
The runs that were made by some of the other guys, by Adam and Kurt and even Rory, were late. So I was kind of playing pretty free until right at the end. I didn't really have any stress the whole day. I was hitting shots to 20, 30 feet kind of just consistently. I thought the pins today were a lot more challenging than the first 3 days. They were harder to get to, especially for me. I had a lot of numbers that were kind of half shots and half clubs. So I feel like I played very conservative, but also aggressive to those targets. And for whatever reason, I had a bunch of putts that I thought I was going to make. And when I got over the ball, I thought they were going in, and they just bounced out and didn't go in, whatever it may be. And I thought I would be a few under going into the last three, and I was one over or even or whatever it was. And so that made it a lot more stressful. But luckily, those guys didn't make a run until late.
Yeah, it was lucky, but he earned it. And congratulations to Jacob Bridgman as the PGA Tour's West Coast swing comes to an end, and they head east just down the corner, really around the corner from where I live here in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, at PGA National Resort and Spa, the Cognizant Classic that begins on Thursday. I must say, you will see this week just the incredible disparity of levels of fields between the signature events on the PGA Tour and an event like the Cognizant Classic, whereas all the best players played last week at Riviera and all the best players had played the week before at Pebble Beach. This week, sandwiched in between the elite events coming up on the Florida swing, including Mr. Palmer's event at Bay Hill, the Players' Championship, is the Cognizant Classic. And the top-ranked player in the world this week is Ryan Gerard, who is the 26th-ranked player, and he is the best player in the field as far as world rankings go. That shows you just how different, how incredibly different the PGA Tour is from one event to another. And, you know, this is going to be addressed again with what's going to be a very radical change to the PGA Tour schedule. Whether that happens in 2027 or begins to happen in 2027 and carries over beyond that, I don't know how much longer the Cognizant Classic, used to be the Honda Classic for years and years, is going to be played here at PGA National. But I do know one thing, and I'll finish on a good note. Brooks Koepka, as part of his coming back to the PGA Tour, has had to donate $5 million to charity. And as far as for him to come back and be in the good graces of the tour, he's agreed to do that. And the first million of that he's donating this week because it's his hometown event. He's donated $1 million to the Nicholas Children's Healthcare Foundation, which is the primary charitable recipient of the Cognizant Classic. And Jack and Barbara Nicholas, the work that they've done here in this region and Ohio and in many parts of the country for kids through their hospitals and the healthcare foundation is just remarkable. So good for Brooks getting that that million dollars. Look for Koepka to play well this week. You know, he is not able to play in these signature events, so I expect him on in a lot of ways his home course to do very, very well at the Cognizant Classic. So pleased that you joined us this week. It is a again, we're riding that magic carpet ride, as I mentioned to Joe Pavelski, with the victory by the U.S. in the gold medal game in hockey. And let's get another gold medal performance this week at the Cognizant Classic as the PGA Tour heads east here to sunny and warm South Florida. For Jenna Self, Kelly Elbin signing off. Thanks for joining us once again on Musings on Golf.